We're back to the Neil Haley show. And, you know, when you talk about being an entrepreneur, it's a process, as all us entrepreneurs, we try to create, we try to motivate, we do all these different things. And my guest today is an author of two different things, and she's going to help us learn about it. She's an entrepreneur, nonprofit director, speaker, and writer. She's written two books, Cry Until You Laugh and Love Is. Kim Sorrell, thanks for stopping by. Kim, how are you?
Neil, I'm great. I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's talk about your background, and then we'll get into why you've written the two books. What's your background?
Well, I was born and raised in Michigan, Grand Rapids, West Michigan area, and I started my first business right out of high school. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, and I run a nonprofit organization. I'm a mom, a grandma, and a lover of people and lover of life.
And I think that's so powerful that you are all those things and the nonprofit director. So you have to see specifically, there's a something about why be involved in the nonprofit world and how it really is an important thing, right? It's to help, really help people that need that specific help and all that, and being nonprofit, right? Would you say that's one reason to focus on being a director of nonprofit, to give back?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Absolutely. You know, I think one of the greatest things anybody can do for their psyche, for their mental health, for their life in general, is to give back. And it doesn't really matter. You don't have to be the director of a nonprofit to do it, but just look around. There's lots of need. And the more you give, the more you receive, and the better life is.
All right. So let's talk about the two books, which, your first book, then we'll get your second book. Tell us about the first.
So the first book, Cry Until You Laugh. I was diagnosed with breast cancer a few years ago. And I went to the bookstore and everything was either very medical or very depressing. And I thought, well, what am I going to go through? You know, are there questions that need to be asked? What's going to happen? And so I started writing kind of as a way to update family and friends, but much more than that. What I wrote about what I was going through. And like one of the questions, for instance, Neil, that I had no idea you had to answer was, I had cancer on one side. And do you get one side or do you get both sides? Yeah.
I didn't know. I don't know. So do you get both?
Right?
Yeah.
So I was sitting around the dinner table with my family one night and I said, oh gosh, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do about this. And my son, Paul, said, well, Mom, would you get new siding on just half the house? And I thought, well, good point, son. Might as well get both sides done. So that's what I did. But then 4 months later, my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then he passed away 6 weeks later.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Oh,
wow. Well, thank you. I appreciate that a lot. He was a wonderful guy and certainly unexpected. I was 47 years old and way too early to lose the man of your dreams and to lose the dream of growing old with someone. And so I had to figure life out. And so I continued to write for about a year. And so that is what Cry Until You Laugh is about. So it has to do with my whole cancer journey and becoming a widow, going from being taken care of to a caretaker. And it was just a crazy time in life.
And then your other book is Love Is. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So losing my husband made me question love. Like, what is love really? It's not like you go to the store and you buy a manual on love or love for dummies, right? So we learn love from the people around us, and not everything we learn about love is right. So I wanted to know, gosh, am I doing this life thing right? And what's love got to do with it? And so I decided I would dedicate a full year to figuring out the real meaning of love. And so I took this old 2000-year-old poem that you hear at a lot of weddings and everywhere else. It's love is patient, love is kind, that does not envy, it does not boast, etc.
Right.
And take one word at a time, one word a month, and figure out, well, what is love that is patient? What is love that is kind? And there are actually 14 of them. And so the one a month thing, the math didn't quite pan out for a year. So it took me a little bit longer, but I was mostly in Haiti. while I was working on it, which I think kind of added a different twist. I was chased by a motorcycle gang. I got lost on a mile high mountain with a medical student in the dark. I slept outside with tarantulas and snakes and chupacabras or whatever it is that's lurking in the bushes there. And what I discovered blew my mind and changed my life and rocked my world. And I think it would anybody's.
Absolutely. I mean, wow. And you got to learn so many things. So defining what love is, where do we go in life, right? You know, when we're looking for love and defining love. And so what did you figure out? Because I think that love is, when you talk about that poem, it somehow disappears the more you get to know somebody longer, right? And some of the true feelings of each person come out, that you can't find that. Is there a way to find that from your learning and writing this book?
Absolutely. For sure, there is a way. You know, I really believe that love is not just a feeling, not just an emotion like fear or excitement, but it's who you are, who you can be to other people. And not just in a couple, but everybody. Yeah, I really think you're supposed to love everybody. And there is a way to find it. And there's a way to find your way back. So people that have kind of lost love, you know, you've lost the butterflies, you wonder where that feeling is gone. And you wonder if you're ever going to have it again. Absolutely. Yeah, I think part of love is a choice that you make. And if you choose to have that excitement in your relationship and you choose to have that love, you know, do you remember that feeling when you first meet someone that you're totally connected to and you can't wait to see them, you can't wait to talk to them, and you just have these butterflies, you just get so excited even thinking about them? Well, that love is something you can have all the time. It's not something that has to go away. But it is interesting to me that when somebody gets married, they always say, oh gosh, you know, it's 50-50, or you both have to give 100%, or whatever, like as if you are loving to get something. And I don't think that's love. I think love is on you. What the other person does is on them. But if you love and how you love, that's totally up to you. We don't control other people and what they do and what they don't do. We only have control of ourselves. And so we can choose to love and love deeply and fully and compassionately. And it's just such a better way to go when you realize that no relationship is 50-50. The minute that you give anything and expect something in return, that's no longer love.
And that's hard, right? Because how do you, in a way, see that as we see always the 50-50 thing? I guess it was a taught thing. So it's more about give, 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 and love. And love will be returned to you, but maybe not in the same way. But you'll feel great because you gave that love. Is that what you're trying to say you've learned in writing the book? If it's talking about relationship or talking about relationships with other people just around us, and from couples to your family to your community, right?
Right. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. When I was working on Love is Kind, because that's the second one, Love is Patient, Love is Kind. So when I was working on Love is Kind, I went to this place that I love in Port-au-Prince. It's a home for sick children run by Mother Teresa's Order, the Sisters of Charity. And I love to go there, and I love to just find a baby and just latch on for the day and help with feeding and changing diapers and whatever. And so I went there and I saw this beautiful, beautiful, brand new baby laying in this pink sleeper. And I went over and found out that his name was Christopher. And I looked, and there was a woman standing at the end of the crib, and that was Christopher's grandma, Natalie. And so as the day went on, his story unfolded more, but Christopher was born. Natalie's only child was Christopher's mother, and she passed away shortly after giving birth to Christopher on the dirt floor of their one-room house. And Christopher had a hard time taking milk. He wasn't keeping his milk down, and Natalie thought it was because it wasn't his mother's, and wasn't sure what to do. So she walked for miles to bring her only living relative, her grandbaby, to this place. And the best they could figure out was that there must be an abdominal obstruction, something that would be handled easily here in the US, but not there. And so Christopher needed oxygen, he had an IV. And at one point during the day, he stopped breathing. And we all stopped breathing. And then we realized it was a kink in the oxygen tank and in the tube. And so we unkinked it and he breathed again. So we knew that he needed surgery. We had a surgeon on alert at a hospital a ways away, but we knew he needed oxygen to get from where he was to where he was going. So I called everybody I knew in Port-au-Prince, and I know a lot of people. And there were people out looking for an oxygen tank. There were people that had no idea where to go for an oxygen tank, but nobody could find a portable oxygen tank in a city with 2 million people. So the decision had to be made. And of course, surgery was his only option, or he was going to die, but he might die because he couldn't have oxygen. So they pulled a van up to the closest door and they kept it running. And then one of the sisters scooped up Christopher while the other one grabbed his IV and took the oxygen away from him and ran for the door. And I looked and Natalie was still standing next to me. And I was like, Natalie, go, go, go. Well, she pointed down at her feet. She didn't have any shoes on. And she knew she would not be allowed in the hospital without shoes. So I quickly took off my sandals and I put them in one of her hands and I grabbed her by the arm and ran her to the door. And she got in just as the van was pulling away. So I knew I'd never see Natalie again. I wasn't going to get my sandals back. I did a kind thing. I showed kindness and then realized that's what love that is kind is. It is giving with zero expectations of getting anything in return. Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have said or heard other people say, gosh, they didn't even say thank you. Or I went to their daughter's graduation party. Where are they at mine? But the minute you give something with expecting something back, it's no longer love. That's not love. But the biggest thing I learned that day is Natalie knew she wouldn't see me again either. But the gift that she gave me, sharing her grandbaby with me that day, was amazing. Her only grandchild, and we bonded like crazy, like a mom and a grandma does. And it was incredible sharing that day and sharing that baby and loving Christopher that day with her. And that was such a greater gift than my sandals ever could be.
Oh my goodness. I mean, that's a tremendous story. I think that you both books are very heart-wrenching in certain ways. One, wow, how you're able to overcome these things. And then the second book, your search for love. Are there more books in the future?
Yes. Yes, there are more books in the future. I think my next one is going to be Love is for Kids. I think the sooner everybody knows what love really is and then lives it, the sooner we have a much better world and are much happier people.
All right. Best place we can find information on your books. Where can we go?
My website, kimsorrell.com. My last name has way too many letters in it, but I am literally the only Kim Sorrell spelled my way in the entire world, but it's S-O-R-R-E-L-L-E, two R's, two E's, two L's, kimsorrell.com. You can go there. I'm on Facebook. I'm everywhere. My books are available anywhere, even book and mortar stores like Barnes and Noble, but they're available on Amazon. Love is out there everywhere right now, but Cry Until You Laugh is too. So.
All right. Well, fantastic. Great information. I'm blown away. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Neil.
All right. You're listening to the Neil Haley Show. And we'll be back in just a moment.